have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the Roman letter in the 8th chapter, and that's where we begin our study, Romans chapter 8. On Sunday evenings, we've been looking through the book of Romans at the word heart. And we've made the discovery that the Apostle Paul was concerned about the heart of man as he wrote to the church at Rome. And in our first lesson, we looked at the impenitent heart and the foolish heart. And we talked about the lustful heart of man. And we identified that there were some that even in the church could have such a heart. Then in our second lesson, we looked at the love of God that is shed abroad and the obedient heart that one should have as a disciple of Christ. But now we turn to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter. And if you will, begin reading with me at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Then, if you will, drop down to verse 27 to save some time. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now then, if you read your Bible in the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, Paul is talking about those who've been led by the Spirit of God. That means that they have followed what the Spirit has revealed through his word. They've become children of God, adopted into the family of God, and added to the family of God. Then notice that he said that God searches the heart of such a man. Notice this identifies the fact that God is active. When you read your Bible in the 121st Psalm, you'll recognize that the God of heaven does not sleep, nor does he slumber, that he is all seeing, he is knowing, he's all powerful. And when the writer of God in the Roman letter in the 8th chapter says that God searches the heart of his children, this shows that God is concerned over the condition of man as he searches that particular heart. If he was not concerned, God would not search your heart. Now, this also reveals to us that God searching the heart of man can produce two views. First, fear of God. Just that God is looking into my heart at the present time can cause fear if it is not right. If you take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians and the 11th chapter, you'll find where God looked upon the heart of man and saw a time when their heart was not right. And time will not permit us to examine all, but if you begin in verse 25 and you read through about verse 30, you will read where they were partaking of the Lord's Supper and doing so in an unworthy manner. They were partaking of the Lord's Supper without thinking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They had made a common meal out of that which was to be holy and sacred. And Paul still said, I do not think I could condemn you. Paul was not happy with the fact that they were not partaking of the Lord's Supper in a way that would give glory to God. And he looked at the heart of the man. God knew that man's heart was not upon the supper in the way that God had designed the supper. And do you know tonight that when you and I partake of the lake of the Lord's Supper, that God searches the hand, God knows what's on our heart when we partake of that supper. That's stuff we need to, that gives God glory. But then if you take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter, you'll find that in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus deals with the prayer. And you remember Jesus, when he's talking about the prayer, talks about some who pray to be seen of men. He said they give their alms and they say their prayers in a way that would not give glory to God, but that it would give glory to themselves. And he said their heart is not right. Their heart's desire was that somebody would praise them. Their heart's desire is that somebody would give them glory. And the instead of the glory he deserves. But then one can take their Bible and turn to the book of Acts and the 5th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 5th chapter, you'll find in about verse 4 where Ananias and Sapphira had given money. You remember they sold a portion of their land and they brought a portion of the money and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And they proclaimed that they gave all the proceeds that they had made from the sale of the land, when in reality they kept back part. The sin was in lying to the Holy Spirit. The sin was in lying in saying that they gave all when they only gave part. And you remember what Peter said? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You know, Peter is saying, your heart is not right. And here were man and a woman that looked at their life, because God is a God that searches the heart of man. And their heart was not right. But let's look at another verse. If you take your Bible, turn with me to 1 John and the 3rd chapter. And when you come to 1 John and the 3rd chapter, look, if you will, at verse 15. In 1 John and the 3rd chapter and verse 15, notice the statement, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no one has eternal life abiding in him. Now, if a man says he loves God but hates his brother, he's a liar. A man cannot hate his brother and then turn around and say he loves God. A man that hates his brother is guilty of murder in his heart. And John said that such cannot have eternal life. God knows the heart and mind. Now, young men and young ladies, God knows exactly what's on your heart. He knows why you're here tonight. Now, you may be able to tell others that you're here for a particular reason and fool them. You may be able to fool the preacher and the elders. But I tell you one thing, my beloved friend, one that you will never fool is the God of heaven. He searches the heart of man. He is the God that searches. And who can say that such would not cause one to fear the God of heaven? When David wrote in the 139th Psalm, he said, wherever I go, thou art there. David said, in my thoughts, God is there. When I was in the womb, even before I was formed, God was there. And that the was there. And that the place that man can hide from God, that he is the searcher of hearts. I thought about that. And that can put fear in my heart. When I stop and think about when I fall short of the glory of God, when I think about that I've not given God that which is dedicated to him, that which he rightfully deserves, that puts a certain amount of fear in my heart. When I live like a hypocrite and I realize the hypocrisy in my own life, I realize God knows my heart. But the second thing I recognize is not only does it put fear, but it can give comfort. And that's another view, that the God of heaven that searches my heart can give comfort. I believe it is to be the one that we really should get at this time, that God looks deep into the heart of man. And in spite of our failures, and in spite of our past, and in spite of our sin, he looks deep and sees the secret and unexpressed thing. And thus, my friend, he blesses us when he knows our hearts. Because look at what he says again in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 36, he really puts it on our mind what he gives us. In Romans chapter, in verse 27, 26 and 27, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then note verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Do you realize the comfort in that? That the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us, and that all things will work together for good if we love God and we follow God. Now put that with what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3. Look in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. When the Apostle Paul penned this letter to the church at Ephesus, he said in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask for things, according to the power that works in us. God knows the heart of man. And I want us to think about the comfort that he is able to do above what we ask, or even sin. God searches the heart. God is looking into your heart now. I want to ask you, do you find comfort in that? Do you find comfort that he knows that I'm trying to please him? Or if you're here tonight, if you're not trying to please him, God knows that. What is our intent and purpose? Well, that brings up a second thought. Look, if you will, in the Roman letter and the ninth chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the ninth chapter, look at another time that Paul mentions the heart of man. And look, if you will, the sage of time in verse 2. In chapter 9 and verse 2, Paul said, I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Now, Paul turns their mind to his heart. And Paul speaks again about the heart of men. And there are several things to observe here as the apostle begins a new thought in the Roman letter in regard to the state of the Jews, his own people. And at this time, the very mention of this work is very unpleasant. He says, my heart is heavy. He says, I'm in continual sorrow. Well, why? Because of the condition of the Jews at that time. They had been separated from God. Israel had rejected the Christ. And it wasn't over some personal loss. It wasn't over some financial loss. No, he was concerned because they were spiritually lost. Look at verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. He said, I'm concerned, I'm troubled, I'm heartbroken, because they are lost, they are separated from God. And you know, my friend, today there are a lot of people with heavy hearts. When Brother Danny led that prayer, he prayed for our nation. I'll tell you, my friend, there are a lot of heavy hearts over a nation that's divided. But even more than that, think about homes. How homes have been divided. And the lost in home. And then think about local churches. And think about the individuals in local churches not dedicated to God. Those are things that can bring trouble to the heart. that can cause an individual to be heavy in heart and to shed tears. I think about what Jesus said in the book of John in the 14th chapter when he talked about death, and yet what did he say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And I want you to remember, my friend, that as Christians, that when we are troubled, one thing that we can take comfort in is that God searches the heart. When we hurt, God knows that hurt. When we're troubled because of our sins and we repent, God sees that hurt. When we feel troubled because of some sickness, God knows our trouble. And isn't it a blessing tonight that we can pour our heart out to God? And I'll tell you what that should do. That should inspire us to do more for the Lord. Our hearts are going to be heavy at times. But what a joy to know that even when hearts are heavy, God searches the heart, God knows the heart, and God is willing to bless man and make intercession. Sometimes I'm fearful. We don't think about the heart. We think as long as we go through the motions, as long as we sit through the time of worship, we sit in the pew for a little bit of time, that that'll be enough. No, my friend, God looks at your heart. My desire is for the people at Eastside to have a heart for God. If every one of us caught holy heartburn, I tell you what would happen. This congregation would grow so fast we'd have to ask. But I'll tell you what's happened to a lot of people. They don't burn. And because their hearts don't burn, they don't talk about it. And they don't share their faith. And they don't tell others about it. And they just expect to come and sit and God will be happy. I tell you nothing. God. When you say God, when you partake of the Lord's Supper, God knows. And tonight, you know what God means? I got a question. If God knowing your heart like that, does that make you happy? Or is that different? If that puts fear in your heart, that may show you're separated from God. But if it gives you comfort, so strive to do. What? You need to be obedient to the gospel tonight or be restored. Our prayers you'll do so tonight as together we stand and sing.